Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. There is plenty to read today. Very well-written, thoughtful, balanced articles and columns about the Chiefs' offense and Alex Smith. One of them written by Sam Mellinger that I retweeted last night. I'll also give a shout-out to Seth Kaiser with Arrowhead Pride and David Benoit, but I'm going to call you Benoit because I like it, from Monday Morning Quarterback. Read it, whether you're pro Alex Smith or anti Alex Smith, read all three and be informed. We've gone so far as to bring Sam Mellinger in here to educate us and tell us what the hell's going on. Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
How you think I am?
I'm
wild.
Yeah, I think your emotions are all over the place.
Hey, just from like this weekend alone, mm-hmm. what a wild.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Friday was great. I took the day off, so I wasn't mad to begin my day, you know. and I watched like at 10 a.m. watched Mizzou come back down 8 to St. John's and like beat a real basketball team and do things that a real basketball team does. Like, oh. And that took me right into Mizzou and Arkansas. Before we get into all the bad stuff, I wanted good stuff with you. Missouri winning 6 in a row to end the season, mm-hmm. and Drew Lock breaking the Missouri and SEC touchdown record now with 43. And now they await their fate for as far as going to a bowl game. And they're watching Florida get Florida gets turned down by Chip Kelly. And that would have scared the hell out of me, Chip Kelly in Florida.
Yeah.
They get turned down by Scott Frost, and they go with Dan Mullen, which is fine. That's okay. But I'm good with it.
You're good.
Mizzou
fan. Yep.
Right, that's why,
uh-huh.
as a Mizzou fan. And then Tennessee gets turned down by everybody except Greg Schiano, and the fans turn him down. And John Curry's like, hey, what happened? Play that one. That's John Curry. Hey, what happened?
Has that ever happened? Like, you said it perfectly. The fans turned him down.
It was like fantastic what? Just to be
and
able
he,
to
already signed
it.
Hey, what happened?
Like, I don't know if this is true or not.
Like a memo,
so say it on the radio
memo of understanding or whatever? Yeah.
Hey, what happened?
Cost him $20 million?
Yeah. Oh, it's a train wreck. It's a dumpster fire. It's all of it put together.
Hey, what happened?
And so they're getting turned down by everyone. And then
I got a real wet wagon.
And then the report last night, Matt Campbell's like, not in. Oh, really? He's not interested in jumping. Wait a second. Here I am. Like, you think coach was like, hey, let me in here. Let me get a part of this.
It's Fred Willard, right? That's the quote from.
Hey, what happened?
He had three catchphrases that he liked to use on his reality show, and one of them was what the Tennessee fans said to Greg Schiano. I don't think so.
That's exactly right. And so that looks, you know, right?
John Curry said, hey, I've got your new head coach. It's Greg Schiano. I don't think so.
And so
hey,
then the other team, another team in Missouri plays not in their division, but every year they play Arkansas. They just fire their coach or restart that thing. I mean, you couldn't go much better than what's happening right now. And you're watching all this stuff happen. And now there's talk that maybe Barry Odom, you know, he's got 3 years left of his contract. Give him a little extension so he can tell all the recruits, yeah, I'm here for your whole career. Like, what is going on? Yeah, you told me that like 6 weeks ago. I said, oh, you are on drugs.
Literally
you?
Last month, people were talking about that man getting fired, and now it's a contract extension. Good for him.
It's amazing how much can change in a month, isn't it?
So last night, Alex Smith hasn't.
I don't know if you want
actually,
to transition.
He has.
No, in the last month. No, he's been bad for a month.
That's what I'm saying, though. But a month
but before
ago,
then,
he was
yeah.
looking like the best quarterback in the
yeah.
NFL.
So I don't know if like, we're getting into this too early if you want to talk about happy
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah, I
longer,
do.
But
what?
Like after the game last night, somebody's like, has any team in Kansas City done a 180 like this about the Chiefs? And I'm thinking, all teams do around here is 180s. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
Like Mizzou football. Even the basketball program, if you can count that, the last 3 years and then this.
Sure it is.
The Royals in 2014. How about that 180? The Chiefs going from 9-0 to, I don't know. We can argue about this. Probably don't need to. About one of the worst playoff losses,
right,
in their history. The Chiefs going from 1-5 to a playoff win. This is what we do.
Oh, hey.
I think Kansas is pretty consistent on both sides, football and basketball. They turn it around. They just keep heading in their own directions.
A 1-0 start, right?
That's not it.
You're a real smart ass in the studio. I like that. That's pretty good.
They're staying the course. Yeah. All right, all these other coaching debacles, they can go and say, hey, look, we're staying the course.
And so, okay, so, and then so now we get to see if, you know, who Missouri's going to play in a bowl game, and then Drew Lock, whether or not he leaves or comes back, which is a real possibility now.
Yep.
I mean, he's at least he'll be evaluated.
Yep.
To see what happens, but it would be great to see him come back. Josh Heupel deserves a lot of credit. So, any thoughts on what Mizzou's done and Drew Lock and what just happened?
No, I mean it's incredible. It's in October, I think we were all talking about look at the schedule, and this is all possible for them, but. If you can, sort of take your mind to where your mind was 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, whatever it's been.
Please, no.
Nobody thought that that was possible. You know what I mean? Like, the schedule made that a thing that could happen in some alternative reality. But, the most impressive thing, and I thought this in 2000 and, was it 15, when the Chiefs did the 1-5 to, then 11 straight and won a playoff game. The most impressive part of that is a coach being able to, sort of keep everybody together. Because when you are playing that terribly, and, it did look like to me that Mizzou did quit on Barry Odom in the Purdue game. But to kind of keep everybody together like that and weather it and make them believe that something like this is possible shows some real freaking, coaching chops. And that's something that I don't think we knew. We had no way of knowing if Barry Odom had that in him.
And if it's so easy to keep your team together, Tennessee couldn't do it, Florida couldn't do it, Arkansas couldn't do it.
No, I think it's the easiest thing in the world for a team to just fall apart,
right?
Especially a college team, I would argue.
It's happening everywhere.
Yes, especially a college team. I think the NFL, they're professionals, and no matter what they think about their current team, they're playing for their next job. But it's different in college. I think it's harder to keep guys together.
This is good. Good still, Kate. More good stuff. Skylar Thompson with one of the most exciting plays of the college season. I'm sitting there. Where the hell was I? Oh, I was out on my patio cooking street tacos for my kids, being heckled by my sons.
Look at you.
It's not fine. But I've got my ESPN app, my watch ESPN. I'm fine. I'm fine out there. And I'm watching this. And I'm just like, I can't believe this, that last drive. And I know that Iowa State fans were mad about referees and a call that looked like a pass interference or flag was thrown and picked it up and no penalty. It would make me mad, whatever. But the point is, Skylar Thompson gets the ball, drives down the field, and then he's scrambling around. The clock says zero. You throw a touchdown, you win. You don't, you lose. I'm not breathing. And all of a sudden, he nails in the back of the end zone. Freaking awesome was that for that kid.
Well, and I'm parochial enough to just go in my mind to, it's really cool to see two kids from Kansas City, quarterbacks, doing things like that for local teams.
That's right.
Drew Lock and Skylar Thompson. That to me was where my mind went. Just a really cool thing to see happen.
Oh, I ain't looking at it because I didn't have a dog in the fight, but I'm just glad I'm cheering. I'm glad that was awesome.
Yep.
I mean, if you're a football fan watching that, unless you're an Iowa State fan, I get it, but how could you not think that was awesome?
That was incredible.
And then he catches the ball, and you're looking at the clock, zero.
Right. Yep.
I think it's awesome watching Kansas City high school products throw touchdown passes for other colleges.
Can you be nice to at least those kids?
I can't wait to see this one that's
going
to go up to Wisconsin and throw a bunch of touchdown passes and win a bunch of games.
I don't like your tone right now.
I think all you guys are talking about is all awesome. Sounds great. Sounds like fun.
Montel Cozart had a couple big games this year. Look at his face. I'm sorry. Hey, you know what? You can make fun of me.
I had a great time watching him run out of bounds a yard shy of the sticks on fourth down multiple times in his career. That was awesome, too.
Damn you, Nate Buchanan.
I did want to say this because I saw Iowa State fans going nuts on Twitter complaining about refs. And
you ever seen that before?
I feel like there's a budding rivalry between which fan base can bitch about officiating more.
Whoa!
The K-State fan base or the Iowa State fan base?
Oh, how about this
guy? That's a good rivalry.
Dropping bombs on your mom.
It's the two booingest fan bases that I've seen.
Let me tell you something. I'll say this right now. This kid ain't playing no games today. This is what I like.
He is fired.
You think I don't like this? This is what I like. This is
so
what I
texted
wait for.
My K-State buddies, and I was like, hey, what do you think about all these Iowa State fans bitching about, you know, the flags that got picked up, you know, the non-pass interference calls and all this? Boy, they came back with three non-calls that went against them earlier in the game, or the kick return that got called back for a bad, you know, holding penalty. They already had like five calls in their back pocket that they were ready to be mad about if they had lost the game, you know. So it's whoever loses, just remember, it's not your fault. It's the ref's fault. It's not your fault, Iowa State, that you ran the ball or that you threw the ball on second and third down,
oh boy,
allowing a minute 55 to be on the clock and for K-State to keep their timeouts in their pocket for that drive.
I didn't think it was going to get this deep.
It's not your fault, Iowa State fans, that you made that terrible game management decision. It's the ref's fault.
I don't know what's happening right now. But
just remember that.
So,
it's never your fault. Now, in fact, I'm pretty sure KU.
Poke the bear, Stephen.
KU, who are you pointing at, by the way? Who are you pointing at?
I'm pointing at that westward.
Like outside, just pointing out.
Pointing that.
You're pointing at Metcalf.
I'm pretty sure that KU, the only win they got this year, the refs didn't screw them at those other losses for the whole football season.
We got a real live meltdown going on here.
I've been listening.
This thing's off the rails. He's taking
shots. Tell me more about these Kansas City-based quarterbacks throwing touchdowns.
I got one more Kansas City quarterback. I got one more for you.
Another one?
I want to know what you think, because not enough people are going to talk about this, but I loved it.
Uh-huh.
Probably because I'm a Northlander, and maybe because I know his parents, but so what? So, Staley High School playing for a state championship game. They're down seven, right? And John Rayburn, their quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the Kansas City area, takes him on a drive. I want to get it right here exactly what the specifics were, because I don't think something like this should be ignored, because it was freaking awesome. They're down 7 points to Pattonville, and they get the ball back, and the offense had been struggling, and they go 72 yards in 48 seconds. Right? Score a touchdown with 9 seconds left on the clock. And the coach, what's he say? Let's go for two for a state championship. And Rayburn throws a 2-point version to win the game. That stuff you write about in the books, right? I mean, that's you know what? High school football, that's not everyone's game. We talk about it once a week. I like it. That was awesome. I'm just that a coach and kids that have been working their asses off to try to win a state championship, they got one play. If that doesn't give you chills, one play, 2-point conversion, Kansas City, get St. Louis area, let's go. 2-point conversion, done. I love it.
It was great. I got a tweet last night asking me if I thought the Chiefs could beat Staley High School.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, speaking of tweets.
Wow, was that from Jake, buddy?
Speaking of tweets, if you want one that'll make you laugh. our buddy Brian McGannon sent out a tweet yesterday from Arrowhead. Said he was in the bathroom at Arrowhead Stadium, you know.
Oh, boy, where's this going?
And the guy shouts out, Alex Smith to the pit of misery. And every person in the bathroom goes, Diddy, Diddy!
Right. That's fantastic. Sure, that's fantastic.
The Dilly Dilly phenomenon is, I don't know why, but it's one of my favorite things that's happened in 2017.
Well, now it
is
for me.
Which is a low bar. There's not much that's been, you know, great in 2017, but Dilly Dilly.
So now, we got over half an hour now. We can't be accused of being overly negative. I brought some good things, right?
Right.
Some good things.
I just slammed two local fan bases.
That's fine.
Is that negative?
Okay, so now, let's talk about a Kansas City quarterback that did not play well.
Who
Alex Smith.
Oh, right, that guy.
What say you, Sam Mellinger?
Oh, my goodness, he was terrible.
Put your big boy pants on.
Oh,
right now.
Boy.
Okay?
Oh, boy. Cinch him up.
All right.
I've lost all control of myself and anything I might say. So just,
let me change.
You know what? Have that dumb button ready.
Let me change pants, and then we'll talk about the quarterback. He's terrible, guys. Can we just, like, statistically?
Yes.
I put this together. Through 7 weeks, 72.4% completions, 8.7 yards per attempt, 15 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 120.5 passer rating. That's higher than any quarterback has had in the league since 2011. Aaron Rodgers in 2011. Last four games,
6.3 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 78.7 passer rating, which, fellas, is basically Matt Castle's passer rating. Ooh. With the Chiefs.
No.
He has been, and look, like he's not the only one who's stunk with the Chiefs in the last month. The play calling hasn't been good. The offensive line has had some struggles. You know, we can point fingers in a lot of places. Derek Johnson.
Wide receivers are running the same route.
Yes.
Dropping passes.
But, you know, when Andy Reid says we all have a piece in this, that's true. But not all pieces are the same size. And Alex Smith's piece is...
Trust me, I know that.
Alex Smith has a lot bigger part in this. And in the last 4 weeks, he's their worst player right now. He is their worst player. He's the one guy holding them back more than anything else. He's missing basic throws to the point where I think he might be hurt. You know, something's going on.
Like, that's a great question to ask right now. And it's a legitimate question because he played so well early and he's playing so poorly right now. And I'm willing to at least consider that.
He's taking some big hits. And the reason I'm saying that, look, like there's other reasons too. There's you know, mental, there's like non-physical reasons that he's playing poorly. But there was just, I'm thinking, DeMarcus Robinson, they were going left to right, and DeMarcus Robinson was wide open. And I can't remember if it was second or third down now, but wide open on the sideline. And Alex was under no pressure, could set his feet. Under no pressure. There was nobody between him and DeMarcus Robinson. Easy, 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 easy throw that you would expect suburban conference high school quarterbacks to make. And he airmailed it into the sideline. There was another play. DeMarcus Robinson is open. And you guys remember this on third down. And Alex Smith instead decided to, you know, just take a shot to the spleen short of the sticks, trying to run for it. There's very basic throws. There's also mental stuff. There was a play where he threw it to Albert Wilson's feet. I think it was Albert Wilson, and Travis Kelce had a potential touchdown. You know, there's been times where he's just kind of missed receivers. So it's not just physical, but he's been so bad that I just can't help but wonder if there is something physical going on. But after the Dallas game, if we can go back in time to a more innocent part of our lives, after the Cowboys game, that was the Chiefs' worst game of the season by a pretty significant margin. And then they had the bye week. And I remember thinking they could play, is that it?
That's the Kelce touchdown.
Yeah, and it was Albert Wilson. It wasn't to his feet, but it was, and that pass was short of the sticks, too.
Right.
And Kelce was open for a touchdown.
Like so many things wrong with that play that makes you sick.
And I also want to say too about that. That was that play right there. People talk a lot about the play calling, and look, the play calling hasn't been good. The play calling needs to be better as well. But that was a great play call.
Right. That was the touchdown.
Was Travis Kelce on a zone beater. You know that's a potential touchdown. Like that was the right play call. Alex just screwed it up.
Amen, brother.
So it's. You know, it's not just one thing, but God, if you could only have time to talk about one thing, Alex Smith is. I don't know how you can watch this team the last 2 weeks, especially, and I would argue the last four, and not think that Alex Smith is the problem. After the Dallas game, that was their worst game of the season, and I remember thinking, God, they got the bye. They're always good after the bye. Look at the schedule; they could finish 6-1, and that would have put them 12-4, I think. And they could finish 6-1 against that schedule and not have played that well. And now they're 0-2 against the worst team that they'll play the rest of the season, the Giants. And the Bills, a team that had just, their coach completely screwed up that quarterback situation.
They just gave up 100 points over the past two games.
101. And everybody runs on them. And now all of a sudden they stack the box because they don't want Kareem Hunt to run on them. And you can't, that's fine if you can't run on one of the worst run defenses in the league, but then throw the ball. Like they're just betting the defense is taunting you to be able to beat them with the pass and you can't do it.
It's a smart
bet.
That
is an enormous problem.
And I'm sure people, it sounds like I'm exaggerating, just trying to make a point. Now that team gave up 100 points the last two games. No, they gave up 100 points the last two games. They really did.
101.
And then the Chiefs answered with 10. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
How do you feel like you did in terms of clock management in the second half? And quarterback had a piece of that, too.
I'm not sure exactly what part you're talking about, but I thought we were...
Like the fourth quarter, they won a lot of hurry up. There's a lot of going back to the
tunnel. What was the score?
16.
Yeah, so you get a touchdown, you're right there. You know, we had plenty of time. When was the interception? You know, I mean, you look at the interception, there was plenty of time on the clock. That wasn't the problem.
Finally, we get to Nate's many complaints about clock management. Nate, what's your problem?
The only clock management I have a problem with is that Andy Reid's press conference was cut short after 4 minutes. And that stupid question gives them some justification to cutting it short, because that's an absurd question.
Man, are you critical of everybody?
Sorry, out of all the things yesterday,
everyone.
Out of all the things to criticize the Chiefs for yesterday, clock management, amazingly, was not one of them. They had...
Andy, my hot dog was a little cold. Any thoughts on that? Did you?
They had plenty of time. There were still like 90 seconds left in the game when he threw the interception at the end. I mean, they were moving the ball right down the field, getting out of bounds.
Sam, your witness.
There was plenty of time on the clock. There just wasn't enough production from the offense.
Do you like it when I force you to look at all 22s from yesterday?
I enjoyed that. I really did, actually. Yeah.
Jake told me I had to stop, because I've done it every commercial break. And I keep making him watch the same play.
You're wearing me out, dude.
Right. Well, I want it to be burned into your brain.
Oh, it's there. Forever. Thank you.
So, Sam Ellinger.
Yeah, man.
What now?
So, that's where we're at, right?
Yes.
Who's the quarterback? Do you know what's also true? That the team that the Chiefs scored 9 points on in almost 70 minutes
Stop
the week
it,
before
dude.
Gave up 82
right.
points the 2 weeks
yeah.
before.
Yep, that's exactly true.
Anyway, all right, so I am still, even now, I sit before you and say that I think Alex Smith should be the starting quarterback against the Jets. We are at the point where that argument is done with sort of like a hanging head and not much passion. We are at the point where that argument is done mostly because Alex Smith is still the same human being that did those things in games 1 through 7. And I'm making that argument in part because Patrick Mahomes has essentially taken zero snaps. He's essentially taken as many snaps with the starters this year in practice as any of us have. And I don't get the sense from anyone in that room that he's ready. Now, what I do think we're at is the point where maybe you start to give him some snaps. And maybe... we are at the point where one more of these, Alex, one more, you know, turd burger. One more game where he needs to put his big boy pants on.
Ooh.
And maybe you make a change the game after that. But this is enough of a process. Like, you know, this Patrick Mahomes did not redshirt at Texas Tech, and he skipped his senior year. He is less than 4 years removed from his high school prom. He was drafted as a very raw prospect who needed at least a year in a system, you know, with coaching to learn and all that stuff. I don't know that throwing him in there now to a team in the midst of chaos is the best thing for his development. Now, that takes a back seat, again, if Alex continues to just flat out stink and flat out, like, hold this team back. Because an average quarterback... they would be, they're 6-5 with an average quarterback. The last 2 weeks, they'd be 8-3 with a below average quarterback. The last 2 weeks, I think they'd be 8-3, but Alex Smith has been horrendous the last 2 weeks and they are 6-5.
You're making me sad. That's all I can tell you. And look,
want Patty this weekend.
You know what? Really? I'm not sure that I do. I mean, because I've wanted it for a couple of weeks now, and I feel like it's unhealthy for me. It's like I get mad at the Chiefs for doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, and so I'm tired of saying that Patrick Mahomes for a number of reasons. Number one, there's a chance he's just the better quarterback right now because Alex Smith is terrible right now. He said he is.
He is.
There's not. You know.
No, he's
awful. And so like all these fears that I hear from the people that don't want to go with Patrick Mahomes. Well, he might throw some interceptions, and then they could lose to some teams they shouldn't lose to. Well, what in the hell do you think we've seen the last 2 weeks?
Without question.
What have we seen?
Without question. But still, these are 2 weeks. There were the first seven games of the season. He was incredible. You know what I mean? And here's another place where I'm at, is that there's a lot of unknowns here. And the unknowns for us are known, or at least known better, to the coaches and the guys in that locker room. And they include, how does Patrick Mahomes look in practice? You know, does he throw?
Kelsey's raved about him, and so is Nagy.
There's right. They've raved about that to like right. in front of microphones, all that stuff. And are they raving about this incredible pass that he made, and kind of ignoring the basic interceptions that he's throwing? You know what I mean?
I'd be willing to take the bad to get the good because of his superior arm talent, his superior playmaking ability. And I'll be honest with you, this team needs a kick in the ass.
That's all true. That's all true.
But also, I will say,
you know,
this.
I was pretty stunned when I heard Herm Edwards say that this morning with us.
What's that?
That this team needs a spark, and maybe the quarterback change could be the spark. He laughed it off last week. I mean, he openly mocked the idea of making a quarterback switch last week and this week. He didn't call for it. But the fact that even Herm Edwards said, you know, hey, maybe the quarterback switch at this point sparks the offense.
Because you can't watch yesterday's game and at least not be open to the discussion.
And the game before.
You can't do that.
Either one by itself, consecutively. No, that's where I'm at.
You know, and the reason, like, we had these knockdown, drag-out arguments with Gary Lezak and myself, I felt he was calling for it after one or two bad games of Alex Smith. And my point was, after five great games, you're going to call for him to be benched after one or two bad games? We're not talking about one or two bad games now. We're talking about a straight month of really bad football. I do feel like that's different.
And what led this team to trading two first-round picks to get Patrick
Mahomes? I think they've known all along there's a ceiling with Alex Smith.
And that the clock is ticking with him as well. But here's another thing that I think about, too, is that, and again, this is not... They can't just decide today and start him Sunday, like it, and feel with any honesty that they're giving Patrick Mahomes the best shot. So, again, what I would do is start to give Pat some time in practice, with the ones this week. And if Alex plays on Sunday the way he did yesterday and the way he did a week from yesterday, then this is a whole different segment that we're going to have a week from today. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I also remember in 2000 and was it 15 when they went 1-5 to start the season and they got out of that. And Alex Smith was the quarterback and he was a reason why they were able to get out of that. And they won 11 straight games, including a playoff game. Right now they're 1-5 in their last six. They've done it before. Give them a chance to do it again. And if he plays like crap, even if they win, you know, because they would have won that game yesterday. If Marcus Peters makes that pick six, you know, there were other things that could have happened. But that wouldn't have changed how terrible Alex Smith played. So what I'm saying is even if they win, but Alex Smith plays like that, I think it's a different conversation.
And I'm good with it. Send Alex Smith out there to play against the Jets. See if they can win a game. And then the entire season, if you're talking about making the playoffs, I'm not, because for me, a successful season includes playing in the AFC Championship game.
For this team, making the playoffs is not a success.
Right.
Absolutely.
But for some people, it is, because the argument here for some people, well, they're still in first place.
Yeah.
You can't take them out. They're still on course to get embarrassed in the playoffs again. You can't rob us of that opportunity. You can't cheat us of that. You can't cheat us of getting our asses handed to us in the playoffs again. And so the point is, send them out there. But this is the team you've gone with, okay? Give them the opportunity to beat the Raiders and or the Chargers.
Yeah.
They lose to the Chargers, pull the plug. Done. Mahomes against the Dolphins. Is that too crazy?
No. I don't think it's too crazy. And now I'm forgetting. It's Raiders then Chargers?
Yes.
After the Jets.
Raiders.
I don't think it's crazy. Again, if Alex Smith plays the way he did yesterday, if he does that against the Jets, I don't think it's crazy to start Mahomes against the Raiders. I really don't.
I personally would not give Mahomes his first start against the best pass rushing tandem in football in Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram.
Yeah, I get it.
I you know,
I'll still maintain
like
too that
Eric
I think
Fisher
that,
yesterday.
No,
sorry, Nate.
I was just going to say I still maintain that it's very possible that Patrick Mahomes is growing as a player this year while sitting. Now I'd like to see him get some playing time and get some on field experience as well. But we were told when they drafted him that they felt like he was going to be a little more raw as a quarterback from the standpoint of learning the offense, learning how to read defenses at the NFL level and all that stuff, because he's also young. So it was going to take a while. That was part of the thought process.
And then we were told he was unbelievably accelerated and surprised everyone with speed that he learned the playbook and the plays that he made in the preseason. I'm sorry, man. This is 2017. This isn't 1990 when you have to have a guy sit for 2 or 3 years. I mean,
no, I understand.
Hey, it's part of the development.
I told you, I'm ready for it. Whenever they decide to make the move, I'll be on board.
To me, when I hear Matt Nagy and these guys talk about like what he looks like in practice, I just don't. It sounds like what they're supposed to say.
Right.
It may be true, but I don't believe it.
We did see him make some throws in the preseason. That were eye popping.
Oh my God! The DeMarcus Robinson against was it the
you
Bengals
would have?
Or,
I mean, and on the run and
automatically you, know, no, you would have to respect throws and you'd have to defend parts of the field that you don't have to defend with Alex Smith.
That's true.
Because he could just make. But there's other things.
He'll also make some stupid throws that you'll have to learn to live with for a while. You know?
The thing that's always in my head about him. And I wish I could remember. It might have been Seth Kaiser, but I can't remember who said it first or the first time I heard it said. We know that Patrick Mahomes can make throws that very, 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 very few quarterbacks can make. What we have to know is that he can make the throws that every quarterback can make. And that's kind of a low bar. But if he's at that point, and I guess this is part of what I'm saying, I don't know how he can be at that point 3 years removed from high school graduation and not taking any snaps with the starters. Like, I get that he's a smart guy. I think he's smart, like, outside of football. And I also think he's, like, football smart. And I think that he's studious and into it and all that stuff. I just don't know how realistic it is to expect, you know, 2 months, 3 months, or whatever, of running scout team to get him ready to play.
So, my question is this. Do you think he will be better prepared opening day 2018 if he gets some playing time under his belt this year? Do you think it will help the development process?
As long as what Matt Nagy and some other guys are saying about him is more honest than what they're supposed to be saying, yes.
Because, did anyone watching Jared Goff last year, did you think he was going to do that this year? I mean,
absolutely.
In Carson Wentz?
No, that's a good point.
Part of it is taking your lumps and learning.
Yep.
You can't learn everything.
Yeah, he's not
going to
be a finished product his first start.
And he's going to have bad games.
I agree with you on that.
And he's going to have bad interceptions. He's going to have great games and great throws. But the point is, from now, I'm all about what's the quickest way to get us to that point to where he is a franchise quarterback. They believed he was, or they wouldn't have given up two first round picks.
And I guess part of what maybe our difference here is, I don't even know if we really have.
No,
a
I
difference.
Think we're pretty much on the same page.
You're saying you want him to start.
Except for Nate. Nate's out.
You want him to start.
I want Alex Smith for one more year. I think after 2 years in the system,
I'm going to strangle you.
Jump off.
I am going to strangle you,
and I will crawl home.
And depending on how he finishes up the season, maybe an extension. You know, maybe a contract extension.
I'm gonna throw him off the
ball. Lower that cap number a little bit.
See, you know, what you
get, put some more weapons around him.
My point is, like, you need to ramp it up a little bit with Mahomes. Like, you can't just throw him in cold. And
I'm with you.
And if I was in charge, we'd do a lot of things differently. We'd have endless press conferences, and I would not say time's yours.
Do you have a problem with Travis Kelce and Marcus Peters?
Only 4 minutes of your time, by the way.
Walking out without speaking to the media.
So my first thought about that was, God, that's weak.
Or is it better for the Chiefs that they didn't?
So, yeah, my first thought was, God, that's weak. And then my second thought was, man, that was probably smart.
Or do you think someone with the Chiefs said, hey, get the hell out of here?
So, yeah, was Travis Kelce pissed off because of those All-22 videos?
Look at the last play.
That you were just showing me. Yeah.
Did you see his body language? He just got it. And people are I heard someone this morning crushing him. Well, Kelce just cornered the play. He didn't chase that. He could have caught the ball carrier and stripped him and caused a fumble. Is that piss poor throw, and that's your takeaway?
Yeah.
So
So what? So you have a problem with it? Or no?
Yeah, I mean, like, so the journalist in me, the sports columnist with the star in me, like, absolutely wants Travis Kelce to talk.
And Marcus Peters at all times.
Yes.
Both of them.
Yes.
Constantly.
The human in me absolutely understands why they bugged out. I get it. I wish they would have talked. Those are two of my favorite guys in the locker room, in large part because of when they talk.
Right.
You know, but I get it, you know. I get it. I can't be mad about it.
Both Trent Green and Tony Dungy said that was not Alex Smith's fault on the interception. The receiver ran the wrong route.
That's right. It's always someone else. Always.
I'm just trying to see if I can get Jake to actually literally.
You could also throw it to the wide open tight end.
Well, that's now you're talking crazy.
You know,
Travis Kelce had four targets. What do you want? What do you want from him?
Alex through the apologist is always everyone else's fault. It's never his fault.
Can we make a couple points, too, and look, like, we focused on Alex Smith, and rightfully so, because he is by far the biggest problem with this team right now. But he is not the only problem with this team right now. And this is there's some dysfunction. And if they're running the wrong routes, like, that's not a point about, oh, the Chiefs are fine and everything's good. Like, there was that 12 men on the field call when it looked like the Chiefs just – were lining up with 12 men. Like, they didn't know that they had 12 men. There wasn't anybody trying to get off the field because they saw that there was 12 men. There was also the play where Tyreek Hill and Albert Wilson were both trying to catch the same screen pass, you know, the same pass behind the line of scrimmage.
No, there's some problems.
Just basic, you know, stuff that high school teams do well, that the Chiefs aren't doing well right now. And look, like, again, even on that part, Alex has a huge part of it. Like, he's the quarterback, right? Like, we all hear about his leadership and, you know, making sure guys are in the right spot. That's part of his job as well.
And you never answered the question.
Sorry.
Could they beat Staley High School or not? Back after this on WHB. Let me tell you something. I wound him up, and he's been going and going and going. He's relentless. Won't even let you take a breath in the commercial break, will he? It's been fantastic to watch.
He gets the game ball today.
Absolutely.
Has he been like this from 6 to 8?
It was
a
slow
build. Dog in the 6 o'clock hour.
No, I again, for the second Monday in a row, I had a meltdown. Just because I need to, because if I don't get it out of my system the first segment, then it'll just linger for the rest of the show. So I just, And then I'm kind of good. And then
for
I'm
you,
okay.
You get that the silent punch in the air.
Right.
That I don't think, like, people can hear on the radio, but that's when I know, like, you're really fired
that's
up.
That's right. I throw a punch in the eye. You know what? That's fine. Jake knows it. We all know it.
Yep.
And with Nate, it's like a look in his eye.
Yeah. No,
that's what I know that he's...
He's crazed he's right now. About a wide variety of topics.
I'll tell you this, though. If I could grow a beard like that, I would have a lot more swagger myself.
Thank you.
You should keep it, but you won't. You'll shave it.
I've been keeping it in the wintertime during the sporting off season. I don't know. You think I could rock this on TV? Like, play by play?
Why couldn't you?
Why not?
Is that not unprofessional? Is that, no. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it's unprofessional to have a beard.
No, I mean, like TV play by play, like, I don't know how often you see that. See it?
I mean,
be
like,
a trailblazer.
If you were sitting there wondering whether your TV play by play guy has a beard or not, what in the hell is wrong with you?
People worry about it.
Wait a minute. This guy's got a beard. I can't listen to him call this
game. Dan Fouts has a beard.
Hold on here.
It's a good point. But
what are you talking about?
You should see the tweets I get from people just about the type of shirt collar I wear on the broadcast.
Sam, is the fact you're a columnist preventing you from having a goatee? Now, Jake, could you please say something to Sam Ellinger? You've had zero interaction. And this is the thing. He goes on vacation, and he thinks he's above the fray.
I am.
He's not above anything.
I am the West
this
Coast
is your
lifestyle.
Time, though. This is your time, bruh.
I'm not as angry as you are, and I'm not as complacent as Nate is. Nate's pretty complacent in terms of Alex Smith. He's like, I'm ready to change when they are. You know, that's his. That's
yeah,
kind of
I mean,
stance.
I just yeah,
that's complacent
that's,
to
that's
me.
That's fair. That's fair.
And me, I've been you moved up to get this guy.
I love when Jake starts using this voice.
Yeah. But you did. You did. You mortgaged the right now because they could have added a piece that would have been helping this team all year long, most likely, in that spot. And you traded away next year's first-round draft pick. All right? Start it. Ask the Rams how it's going. Ask the Eagles how it's going. That's what you do. You look. That's
how many games did Goff start last year?
Oh, I think after about probably 8 or 9, I would guess off the top of my head.
Let's see how good you are.
But the point is, the Titans did it with Mariota. The Buccaneers did it with Winston. The Rams pretty much did it with Goff, and the Eagles did it with Wentz. That's what you do now. That's what you do. When you draft a franchise quarterback, you put him in and you let him play.
In fairness, did any of those teams have legit quarterbacks?
Last year he started 7 games.
Did any of those teams have legit quarterbacks?
Like
12 touchdowns the year before? Like passing touchdowns?
I mean, Alex Smith is a legit quarterback.
Right.
I'm
12
not saying
touchdowns
he's great.
The year before.
I've never said he was great. Right. He's an average to slightly above average NFL quarterback.
Right. He had 12 touchdown passes the year prior to this.
No, but he's.
But right. But he had 12 touchdown
15,
passes.
15, I think
he had 15.
That's all right.
Whatever.
It felt like 12.
12 sounds better.
Right.
He also ran for 5. I mean, he didn't have a great year last year. I'm not saying he did.
Does it feel like
the Rams went away from Nick Foles for him?
Is this like Nick Foles
can't start anywhere? But I know you won't get over that. But he can't start anywhere.
Sam, is it because so like
not getting a fair shot?
I don't even know if this is a good comparison, but I'm all over the place here. So like, and are you in a hurry? I'm sorry, we're keeping you.
No, let's do it.
Okay, so
you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City.
And so like, maybe. So like the Royals couldn't decide what they were, and they paid for it. They didn't want to trade any of their, you know, Hosmer, Moustakas, any of those guys. But then they traded Wade Davis. Mm-hmm. And they traded Jerrod Dyson.
Big mistake, yeah.
So they're kind of in, kind of out. Yep. Straddling the fence. And they ended up basically going nowhere.
Yep.
And it was a bad deal. They either be all in or not.
Totally agree.
And so now it almost kind of feels like the Chiefs, before the season, hey, We got to build for the future. We got to change the direction of this franchise. And they gave up a first round pick. Yep. Clearly, they could have got something that would have helped them: a wide receiver, a cornerback, something, right?
Yep.
And a first round pick next year. But then off to the really fast start, and then that let them change the narrative. Okay, now we're in it. We're a Super Bowl contender. Well, if they really believed they were a Super Bowl contender with Alex Smith, don't you draft something else to help this team right now in the first round? And in the first round next year, you think about that? So it's like they kind of got caught in the middle, and now here they are knocking on the door of Darrelle Revis. I like a team that tries anything they can to win, but doesn't that just smell of desperation? And then Terrence Mitchell, who had played well, and then who, I don't know where he was.
Someday I want to hear the story about Terrence
Mitchell. If they locked him in the utility room at Arrowhead and couldn't find him, then he comes out and plays yesterday and plays pretty well. But the point is, he's so much better than Philip Gaines or Kenneth Acker. It's silly. So I don't know what the hell's going on over there. So it almost feels like they're just caught in the middle now.
No, it's 100% a legitimate criticism about are you trying to win now or are you trying to build? The reason, and look, like I was criticizing and still do, and all what the Royals did. I just thought that was brain dead on a lot of levels. I feel differently about the Chiefs for a few reasons, mostly because I think in the NFL, I just think that the sports are different, and I think that the salary cap makes it different. I think that the Royals' financial position in baseball relative to the teams they're competing with makes them need to, you know, have those decisions, you know, a little bit stronger of are you in or are you out? I think in football, you have to be building and you have to be winning. I just think you have to do both at the same time. You don't go for a 2-year window and all that. All that said, again, it's a legitimate criticism. The pick to make, you know, if it was all about 2017, to me was to keep your draft pick and take Reuben Foster and, you know, get your run defense. They had to know Derek Johnson, you know, that this was a possibility and to strengthen the run defense. And look, I think Reggie Ragland has been really good.
That's a terrific trade, and I think he's an ascending player, and that's going to be very, very – that's going to be considered a steal if it isn't already.
Tano Pasanio finally played some.
And that's wonderful.
There was – and sorry, but real quick, people aren't going to like hearing this, but The other pick to make to me would have been a defensive back, and as it happens, Tre'Davious White, who Chiefs fans might recall had the interception yesterday, was taken. Do you want me to continue?
Go ahead.
27th overall by the Buffalo Bills with the trade that they acquired from the Kansas City Chiefs.
And look, that would make some people mad, but I will not complain about the Chiefs drafting Patrick Mahomes, because I think that's what they should have done.
Yes.
Because
we all agree with that.
The quarterback provides them with a ceiling that is the division round of the playoffs, and here we are having the same discussion again. So I'm giving up for this year as far as seeing Mahomes play. My whole criticism is, if you were going to be so bold to put that much into Patrick Mahomes and to trade that much for him, not just, it wasn't in the case they were sitting there, can you believe he fell to us? Like the Aaron Rodgers thing with Green Bay. I can't believe he fell to us at 27. Let's take him. No. You moved up and you give him a third round pick and next year's first round pick because you were so sure, number one, you needed this guy, and number two, he was the right guy. Mm-hmm. And you picked him ahead of Deshaun Watson, who, by the way, boy, it looked like the NFL was really too much for him when he played. I know he's hurt now, but, boy, didn't he look overmatched? That was terrible.
I need to just not try to thread this needle.
Thread it.
But Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes are a little bit different to me in that Deshaun Watson, what he did in college was a lot different than what Pat Mahomes did. I think a year older as well, but played in two national championship games, right? Like, I mean, just much more accomplished and tested in college than Pat Mahomes. And so, look, like...
But again, how dumb was it for them to start the season with Tom Savage?
Oh, my God!
How stupid was that?
Tom Savage.
How stupid was that?
Tom
Savage. Well, we don't want to... What might happen if we start Deshaun Watson? That's stupid.
Yeah.
Tom Savage. I'll just...
The joke.
I'm glad the Chiefs... I don't think there's any way they should have drafted anybody but Pat Mahomes. I wanted them to draft a quarterback in the first round. I was calling for it. I thought they would do it. I'm glad they did it. I'm still glad they did it. I still do understand their thought process, and that was part of my rationale when I thought the Chiefs would draft a quarterback, and everybody said I was crazy, was because during the Dorsey era, they would drafted guys for the next year. Not for their rookie year, but for the next year.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's worked out, and sometimes it hasn't. Like, the Dee Ford thing has not worked out. Like, that was to replace Tamba Hali a year after they drafted him, and that hasn't worked out. But
Which one's worked out?
Well, I think you could say that Eric Fisher's worked out. I mean, I guess.
The problem with the Eric Fisher, like, everybody judges him on the 1-1, right? And I get it. But that draft was
that draft class sucked, and he's been one of the most productive players in that draft class. I mean, I don't know.
Do you think he's good right now?
No, I don't. He's been playing really poorly.
Yesterday was his worst game.
Yeah, he was bad yesterday.
He was bad.
I'm wanting to believe this one's going to work out, by the way. So, but look, you know, if I'm in the mindset of the Kansas City Chiefs, okay, they did have a team that was good enough to win the division the last couple years. They have a group of players who are, the window is closing on.
Closed.
But they also realize that the quarterback that they had is a decent NFL quarterback, but there's a ceiling on him. So they went out and they drafted the future there. But they also said, hey, look, this team's good enough to win the division again. They added a running back that does help them right now, at least we thought was helping them right away in Kareem Hunt. If
they're stuck right now. They're stuck in no man's land.
I know.
The way you just described it, they're stuck in no man's land.
Well,
we think we can win, but we're going to go to the future. We're going to give up first-round draft picks, but we still think we can win now.
But I think have to do that. I think you have to do that in the NFL.
But I mean,
criticize that specific part.
Do we
of
think
what
they
the
should
have
torn the whole thing down when they drafted Patrick Mahomes? I mean, I'm just trying to, like,
you don't have to do that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think they're set up in good shape for next year when Alex Smith comes off the books. They'll be able to clear a lot of cap space, I believe, next year by walking away from just him, but also guys like Tamba Hali and Derek Johnson, and they'll have some money to actually spend and go out there. I still hope that they can trade Alex Smith for something and require some of that draft capital back so they can draft some guys to join. We've talked a lot about some of the young players like Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill and the young players that they can build around on the offense going forward. So, you know, I don't think it's all doom and gloom for the team for the future.
All of these things that you say about Patrick Mahomes not being ready, so he's going to get ready in practice, and then in St. Joe's going to get him ready?
Well, I told you I'm ready.
You have to play in the NFL. I'm sorry. The clock will start when he starts playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's you do whatever you want in practice. We just said it doesn't matter.
I mean, I'm sure he's learning a lot. I still think he's making progress. I told you I'm ready. If they want to make the change, I'm ready for it. I'm not standing in your way.
Sam?
Well, yeah, we are at the point where, like, after the Dallas game, you know, I thought this was a ridiculous conversation about, you know, play Pat, you know. And the first seven games of the season, whenever the Chiefs would, like, punt, you know, you'd see tweets. And they would be, like, sarcastic, right? But, you know, it's time for Mahomes. That is in the past. You know, we are living in a different reality now. You know, my only point about switching is that you can't just do it like that. You've got to ramp it up. You've got to give him some time and practice, even if it's just 2 weeks of taking some snaps. Like, 1 week of taking some snaps, and then if Alex stinks again on Sunday, you know, then maybe you give Pat most, if not all, the snaps.
Yeah, and I'm trying to meet halfway.
I'm good with that.
I give Alex Smith the Jets, the Raiders, and the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, you're even more patient than I am.
But to win the division.
Yeah.
If we're all talking about winning, You have three games to win the division.
Yeah.
Because if you lose those games, you're not winning the division.
But, yeah, and part of, and look, like, again, the last 2 weeks, he has been, to me at least, stunningly bad. Like, stunningly bad when you consider the competition and the context and all that stuff. But this is still the quarterback that you've built things around. This is still the quarterback that, and maybe this is part of why Travis Kelce left the locker room so early. But Travis Kelce, more than anybody else, is reverential when talking about Alex. Reverential when talking about Alex. So if that kind of respect is starting to erode, then this is a different conversation. But this is still a quarterback that is it put you in the playoff, or, you know, been part of playoff teams 3 out of the last 4, and including a year where he helped you get out of 1-5, and not just 1-5, but 1-5 in Jamal Charles' knee pops, and so he did that. So I don't know why you can't, you know, think that it's possible to do and give him a chance.
They should be able to beat the Jets.
That's not an argument with you, Steven. That's just, you know, what I'm saying.
I still believe that. They should, based on the personnel and what's out there, they should still beat the Jets, and they should beat the Raiders.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can beat the Chargers. I can't sit here and tell you that they're better than the Chargers, because, first of all, Phillip Rivers is better than Alex Smith. And it's ridiculous to have that conversation. Did you see what he did to the Dallas Cowboys?
Right.
So all the people, oh, he's terrible. Okay, well, this, you know, look at it. Number two, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. The Chiefs have nobody to get to the quarterback. And there's an argument to me that's the best pass-rushing tandem in football. So there's the problem. There's a real argument right now over who's a better team. San Diego now. If you want to go back, okay, great, let's go back. Well, the Chiefs beat the Patriots. What is that good for now?
Yeah.
You think they're going to beat them if they play them again in New England? Hell no.
It's crazy. My point is,
I think there's a real debate over who's the better team now. I think the Chiefs are better than the Jets. I think the Chiefs are better than the Raiders. I don't know if the Chiefs are better than the Chargers. I can't say that right now. Do you guys disagree with any of that?
Well, not right now. I mean, the Chargers look like a much better team. It's just crazy. We're talking about in the span of one season. You just pointed out the numbers that Phillip Rivers had against the Cowboys last week, and rightfully so. He's playing great again. He went 20 for 40, 0 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions against the Chiefs. This year. And that's back when the Chiefs looked like the best team in the NFL, and the Chargers looked like the same old Chargers who were 0-3 at that time. They went, got out to 0-4, couldn't win a close game, same old Chargers. And look at how different they are now, and look at how different Phillip Rivers is now.
Yeah,
like it's unbelievable to me how much things can change in the course of one season.
He looked broken in that game.
Yeah,
too. It looked like if you just pushed him off his spot, just 3 feet, he had nothing.
Oh,
and
he'd just throw the ball up for grabs,
and the ball was floating. And the Chiefs, like, that was at, you know, that was a I mean, technically, at least, a home game for the Chargers. There were a lot of Chiefs fans at that game. But, you know, on the road, and the Chiefs, I forgot what the final was. It was buffered a little bit.
24-10, I think.
Because Kareem Hunt had the big run at the end. So it was buffered a little bit.
Can we
but
see
the Chiefs stranglehold. I mean, they controlled that game.
Can they see
from
maybe there's
start
an
to finish.
Adjustment period to playing in front of no one in a small stadium not built for football, and Phillip Rivers getting used to commuting back and forth, how many hours a day is he driving, whatever else.
Yeah,
and they got into it, and they figured out their identity. They have a 1-2 punch at running back. They have a 1-2 punch as far as pass rushers. Look at the numbers Keenan Allen has put up as a real number one wide receiver, an actual number one wide receiver. They're getting Hunter Henry involved. Again, look what he did against the Cowboys. It ain't looking good.
Yeah.
By the way, Kareem Hunt ran for 172 yards in that game.
And I believe
that seems like a fairy tale right now.
I believe that he's run for 173 yards total in something like the last three or four games.
Predict the final five games. What's Chiefs' record going to be?
Oh my God. 2-3.
Who are they going to beat?
I think they'll get back this week.
Like, okay, no, that's fine. They beat the Jets. That's fine. The Jets are no good.
I know.
The Jets are no good, and they were a play away from beating the Giants or the Bills.
I think they'll get back this week. How about this? Look, man, yeah. I think they'll get back this week, and then it's Raiders.
I think they're going to beat the Jets, too, because I'm stupid.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going through game by game, and I had them winning three, so I don't know where that comes from, because I got them beating the Raiders, and then I think the Broncos are...
At the Broncos, they'll win, because the Broncos are done.
The Broncos stink, so...
Even worse than the Chiefs.
2-3, 3-2.
Dolphins coming here.
Chains off your neck, though.
The whole season, Raiders and Chargers at Arrowhead. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all?
Yep.
Win those, win the division. Lose those. Yep. Pat Mahomes time.
Chiefs are 4-point favorites in New York.
I think they're going to beat the Jets, but that's not the key is the Raiders and the Chargers. That's the season.
Yeah. I have no confidence
Sam Ellinger,
in anything. They've been double-digit favorites the last 2 weeks and lost.
That's why you should just stick with what's working. Right? Stick with it. Stick to itiveness. Yep. Look at Jake's face right now, everyone. Sam, can I get you some coffee or say anything else you want?
I'm good, man.
You want to finish on a positive note? Want to say anything to anyone that might be traumatized by all this?
Don't do it.
Thanksgiving was great.
Yeah.
I love Thanksgiving.
Get your Christmas lights up.
It's my
best. It.
No, not yet.
You want to see me punch Todd Lebo in the stomach?
Oh, and also, here's some good news.
Oh.
Me and my wife got a raise because our toddler, our three-year-old, went from wanting one of those big, like, $400 electric, you know, Jeeps to just, like, a Paw Patrol boat.
That's all you need.
Like
Paw
Patrol. So I got a raise.
I'm down for Paw Patrol.
I got a raise.
Right. I got Phil Paw Patrol last week.
Your job's too big.
Every morning. And I'll go to break right now. I'll go to break right now, and I'll say this, something positive. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Coco was the best animated movie that I've ever seen. And I've had kids for two decades. I've gone to see I've been to see them all for the last two.
Is that
the best animated movie, and I'll just go ahead and not even say anime, one of the best movies I've ever seen.
How about that?
And between me and my wife, I cried more than she did in the movie.
That's
not
nothing.
Surprising.
I know, right?
Yeah, that doesn't mean
anything
at
all.
Because it's about a Mexican family, you know. And as soon as I saw someone, I said, "Oh, this is going to remind me of my grandma." That's going to remind. And I said, "It's good." I told everyone, I said, "I'm going to start crying," and I mean the damn opening credits. I'm over there crying, and then like the boys want to move down a seat, and everyone wants to leave me. But anyway, anyone with kids. Like you two fine gentlemen, Jake, take your nieces, whatever. That movie is wonderful. The soundtrack is awesome, everything about it. And I want to go see it again. I could not give a movie a bigger thumbs up. And I get it, if you don't have kids, and then you go in by yourself to an animated movie, that'd be
so
weird
what?
For you, Jake. I don't know. That'd be like, hey, who's this guy?
So
but
what?
My point is, go
see it. Wear a trench coat.
Fantastic. You weirdo. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.